Deepa Samuel, Burke and Hare. In the mid-1690s in Scotland, the dissection of bodies of executed criminals in the name of science was a routine practice. This was a convenience for medical schools, as well as the authorities, who wouldn't have to pay for burials. The arrangement was later expanded to include the cadavers of unidentified people who died on the streets. A century later, when Edinburgh's College of Surgeons had so many students that there weren't enough bodies to meet the demand, opportunists saw an easy way to line their pockets by robbing graves at St. Cuthbert's, one of Edinburgh's oldest churches with an attached graveyard. Those who plundered the burial sites became known as resurrectionists. In the early 1790s, two such characters entered British folklore by providing dead bodies without having to go through the trouble of digging them up. Born in the county of Cork in 1792, William Burke eventually abandoned a wife and family and moved to Edinburgh to work on the construction of the Union Canal. He soon met another Irishman, William Hare. Little is known about Hare's past, except that he was a brutal man with no education and may have been a soldier. After the canal was complete in 1822, Hare became a gawker, and while working, he became friendly with a lady named Margaret Logue, or Logue, whose husband owned a lodging house. Shortly after Mr. Logue died, Hare married Margaret and inherited the lodging house. Burke met his female partner, a woman by the name of Helen McDougall, while he was working on the canal. When the canal was finished, he tried farm work, hedging, ditch digging, and shoemaking. When an old soldier named Donald, who had been staying at the Hare's lodging house for some time, was found dead, Hare felt cheated because the old man had owed him rent. When a coffin was delivered for the old man's body, Hare filled it with bark from a tannery and placed the body in a sack. He and Burke then took it to the College of Surgeons, where a student directed them to Dr. Robert Knox. The surgeon paid them £7, 10 shillings, and did not ask where the body came from. Born in Edinburgh in 1791, Knox had attended high school until 1810, when he enrolled in medical classes at Edinburgh University and specialized in anatomy. He graduated 4 years later at the age of 23 and became an assistant surgeon in a military hospital in Brussels, treating casualties of the Battle of Waterloo. After several years of military service and travels in South Africa, he returned to Scotland in 1821 as a skilled surgeon. At the peak of his career in Edinburgh, he had over 500 students. With Knox asking no questions about the origin of the bodies provided by Burke and Hare, they soon delivered another guest of the lodging house. Possibly an Englishman from Cheshire, he had become ill with jaundice. Burke and Hare had suffocated him. The third victim, an old woman, was lured into the lodging house by the Hares with an offer of drink. When she was drunk, Hare placed his hands on her mouth and Burke lay across her body. Dr. Knox approved of the corpse because it was so fresh and still asked no questions. The next victim, Mary Patterson, was a beautiful teenage prostitute. She was strangled while she was drunk. When Burke and Hare arrived with the body, one of Knox's students remarked that he had seen a girl similar to her. Burke dealt with this by saying that Mary had drunk herself to death, and he had bought the body from an old woman. Over the next 3 months, Burke and Hare became even bolder, even taking the bodies to Dr. Knox during the day. Their tally soon reached 10 victims, including Jamie Wilson. Known as Daft Jamie, he was a simple-minded 19-year-old young man who was described as big and strong, but with the mind of a child. When he fled his home after a disagreement with his mother and went to live on the street, surviving by doing odd jobs and receiving charity from people who took pity on him, he had the misfortune of meeting Burke and Hare. Burke's official confession states that Hare's wife brought Jamie off the street for a drink while Burke was at a local tavern. After being lured to the lodging house, he was strangled. When the body was taken to the medical school, several students said they recognized Jamie, but Dr. Knox denied that it was him and quickly ordered the dissection. The last Burke and Hare murder took place on Halloween. While Burke was in a local tavern, an old woman came in begging for money. Burke talked to her and learned that her name was Mary Dougherty and that she had come from Ireland in search of her lost son. Burke deceived her into thinking he was a distant relative and invited her to his house. They had a fine party that night, with lots of dancing and drinking. At the time, Burke had an ex-soldier by the name of James Gray and his family staying with him. Burke asked if they could stay with Hare that night so the old woman could use their room. They agreed. When Mrs. Gray returned in the morning, she found Burke acting suspiciously by a bed with a pile of straw atop it. Later that day, Burke went out to replenish his supply of whiskey. Still suspicious, Mrs. Gray went over to the bed, lifted the pile of straw, and uncovered the naked corpse of Mrs. Dougherty with bloodstains around the nose and mouth. Although Burke, Helen McDougall, and the Hares were interviewed, the police decided there was insufficient evidence to bring a charge of murder. In the hope that Hare and his wife would provide it, they offered them immunity if they would turn King's evidence. The Hares eagerly agreed. Burke was charged with Dougherty's murder and those of Jamie Wilson and Mary Patterson. The trial began on Christmas Eve with both of the Hares, along with other witnesses testifying against Burke. Evidence was provided in the form of clothing from the victims and Jamie's snuffbox. The jury took 5 minutes to find Burke guilty. The charge against Helen McDougall was declared not proven, and she was set free. William Burke was sentenced to hang and his body publicly dissected. On January 28, 1829, a crowd of 25,000 people watched the execution. Even more lined up to see his body on display, followed by a public dissection, and his skeleton exhibited as a reminder of his terrible crimes. Spared imprisonment because of his deal with the prosecution, Hare was released from custody. Choosing not to risk being put to death by irate citizens taking the law into their own hands, he fled to London. There, according to unconfirmed reports, he was either attacked by a mob or thrown into a lime pit, or became a destitute blind beggar wandering the city and was never seen again. Mrs. Hare and Helen McDougall also disappeared into obscurity. Knox was never charged with a crime, but after angry Edinburgh citizens rioted outside his house shortly after the trial and with dwindling registration for his classes, he moved to Glasgow and later to London, where he died in 1862. Although Burke and Hare are in the annals of crime as resurrectionists, and a popular horror film starring Boris Karloff and Peter Lorre was based on them, Hare firmly denied that they had been gravediggers. They were merely a pair of murderous conspirators who had killed at least 16 people, more victims than Jack the Ripper. They and the doctor who bought their macabre wares are remembered in a grim bit of English folk poetry. Up the close and down the stair, in the house with Burke and Hare. Burke's the butcher, Hare's the thief. Knox the man who buys the beef.